Hello and welcome to the Current Event Podcast from Path to Redemption, the podcast. My name is Daniel Arona, and this week we're going to be talking about the BRICS organization and how they are going to be rivaling NATO, possibly in the near future. So let me give you a little bit of a background here in terms of what the BRICS are. The BRICS nations represent the global south and is focused on developing economies. It started with Brazil, Russia, India, and China in 2006 and added South Africa in 2010, making at BRICS. The purpose of this group was to bring the world's most important developing economies together to challenge the political and economic power of the West. So what we're seeing here is they want to rival the NATO, the Europe in America and all of these things, particularly economically, and we'll kind of get into why here in a second. But in 2024, Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE all joined the BRICS nations as well. So this expanded the group to basically contain 3.5 billion of the world's population, or 45%, and 28.5 trillion of the world economy, or 28%. They also produce 44% of all of the world's crude oil. So basically, they're looking for an alternative to Western institutions such as the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, which lend money to governments. In 2014, it set up the New Development Bank to lend money and to boost infrastructure to its members. This is actually from an article in the BBC where it says, by the end of 2022, it had provided nearly $32 billion to emerging nations for new roads, bridges, railways, and water supply projects. This is China's main aim for BRICS, according to Professor Padraig Carmody from Trinity College in Dublin. Through BRICS, China is trying to grow its power and influence, especially in Africa, he says. It wants to be the leading voice for the global south. The other major world power in the group has a different purpose. Russia sees BRICS as part of its fight against the West, helping it to overcome the sanctions imposed after the invasion of Ukraine, says Creon Butler of the London-based think tank Chatham House. Now, the obvious question here is how do they begin to rival the West economically? Currently, the majority of trade in the world goes through the dollar. The U.S. has historically used sanctions on corporations and nations to limit their access to the dollar and therefore limiting their trade and hurting their economy. At some point, this group would want to fully disrupt the dollar to keep the U.S. from weaponizing it any further. Militarily, the ties are more loose. India and China often have skirmishes on their borders, and we know, however, that India does purchase Russian oil and has helped to prop them up during the sanctions levied by the U.S. because of Ukraine. What comes of this next is kind of yet to be seen. They want to continue to expand membership, but they also really want to start working on some other currency aspects here too. Actually, Russia and India have been trading the oil in rubles and doing some different conversions and those things just because they're trying to keep it out of the U.S. dollar. So why does any of this matter? Like, why do I bring this up? And I want to bring you back to Daniel chapter 2, 31 through 43, where it says, "You, O king, were watching," and this is about the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, the dream that he said. So this is what Daniel says. It says, "You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. The great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and clay. You watched while a stone was cut without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power and strength and glory, and wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold, but after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over the whole earth, and the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. So we've kind of seen this play out historically, right? We know the Babylonian Empire was the head of gold there. Then we have the Persians, then we have the Greeks, all the way down to the Roman Empire, which was ultimately split into two. But the other thing is that there's Ken Johnson, who out of BibleFacts.org, he does a phenomenal job of breaking down the continuation of the legs of iron from Rome all the way through even to how the U.S. represents the continuation of that, right? So if you get a chance, go check that out. His name's Ken Johnson. He's on BibleFacts.org. He has a YouTube channel. He just does a phenomenal job really breaking all of that down. But we have to understand here that the reason that I'm saying this is because the West, it comes really out of that Roman Empire, right? If you look at the nations that are involved in Europe, all conquered by the Roman Empire, and then on top of that, the U.S. came out of those nations that were historically conquered by the Roman Empire, along with Canada as well. So understanding all of that, we're kind of seeing the potential of us moving from the legs of iron, where we have dramatic Western influence here, into feet made of partly of iron and clay. Now, the West is still here, right? The West still has the power. They still have the strength and all of those things. But what you're seeing is a conglomerate of the global South. And as the Bible says here, and as the toes were partly of iron and partly of clay, so shall the kingdom be partly strong and partly fragile. And I find that interesting. When you look at the Europe and the US and kind of those NATO allies, they're really strong. They're put together. They are allied together. They're a strong force to be reckoned with. And then now you have the clay over here in these BRICS nations that are kind of more loosely aligned, right? They're kind of weaker in terms of their coalition, if you will, but then also weaker from a economic standpoint as well. As we talked about earlier, the BRICS nations only represent 28% of the world economy. So I think what we're potentially seeing here is the beginning of that transition from legs of iron into feet made of iron and clay. We'll see ultimately how this plays out. But based upon what the Bible says, I would expect BRICS to continue to expand and grow, but I would expect it to be loosely held together. I would expect it to be still weaker than to the West until finally an Antichrist comes. And then ultimately, when we have Jesus Christ, who is that rock that comes and smashes the feet and defeats the Antichrist, and then ultimately sets up his kingdom throughout all the earth. So I think that's what we're kind of looking at here. We may be very well in a transition. I personally believe that we are in a transition from the legs of iron into the feet of iron and clay. And how long that lasts, I have no idea. But I do think that they are going to end up rivaling the West in some way, shape, or form. Just they're going to be weaker. They'll never probably destabilize fully the West. Something else will have to do that. But I do think that they are going to try and rival us, at least militarily and economically. So just something, again, to be aware of as we're kind of looking, because the scripture said to watch and wait. And I think that we need to make sure that we are preparing our hearts, preparing everything that we have as the world begins to set up for this next phase. With that, I hope you got something out of it. God bless.